Yes, hallelujah. What a way to honor the Father today. Amen. The Bible said, except you become as a little child, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? And somehow or another, people think maturing in the Lord brings us to a place where we got it all together. We have faith to believe for everything we need. We lose that quality of childlike trust and childlike love for the Father. We don't approach Him in that childlike. And when I say childlike, I'm not talking about immaturity about understanding our relationship that we have with God. I'm talking about maturity in that relationship with God. Until you and I can feel welcome in the presence of God, welcome before His throne, understand what has happened at the cross, we'll never be able, we'll try to be pumping up faith. I don't know about you, but I remember the old, anybody remember the old pumps? The old, that you had to do this, amen, and you get a hold of that thing and you start pumping and pumping. A lot of people go to God in prayer and you can feel the pumping going on. Some people have to bombard heaven. It reminds me, every time I see people bombarding heaven with their prayer, it makes me know that they don't understand the availability and accessibility of the Heavenly Father. He's invited us to come. The door is open. You don't have to try to beat it down. Can you say amen? Some people think it's actually spiritual. Amen. That we have to try to beat down that door, that God is reluctant, sitting aloof in His heaven. My Bible said He's not like that. Can you say amen? Jesus actually said, heretofore, you've asked nothing in My name. Ask, He told His disciples, that you might receive. No, He said, heretofore, you've asked the Father nothing in My name. Ask the Father that you might receive so that your joy might be full. Now, I'm looking at people, and your joy jar is not running over, a lot of folks in this room. I have to tell you the truth today. Your joy jar simply isn't full. That's my personal observance. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because the eyes of him that is joyful rejoices the heart of others. And if you don't have joy in Jesus because of your circumstances, then you don't have a genuine, authentic, right relationship with the Heavenly Father. And I don't have it either. Amen. Because there's a joy in this relationship. Absolutely. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know where that's written? That's not written in the New Testament. That's not something the Holy Spirit makes happen in the New Testament sense of a gift or a feeling or a jolt from heaven. It's in the book of Nehemiah. It's God's people coming back from 70 years of bondage. They come back to ruined cities and walls that are broken down. Amen. And the first mention of a pulpit of wood is in the book of Nehemiah. Amen. In the book of Nehemiah, it said Ezra, the high priest, took the book of the law and he built a pulpit of wood and he stood before the people and he began to read from the book of the law. Amen. He did it at a place called the Watergate. Had nothing to do with Richard Nixon. Can you say amen? Amen. But he did it at the Watergate. He built a pulpit of wood. All the people gathered. Amen. And he said, if we're going to rebuild this city and rebuild our lives and reclaim our fortunes, our families, our lands, praise God. Then he built a pulpit of wood. And he began to read from the book of the law. They've been in captivity and now they're hearing God's word again. And you know what? They had drifted so far from God's truth and God's commandments and obedience to God that when they heard it, they were pierced to the heart and they began to weep and they were forlorn and they were cast down and they were deeply convicted. And immediately when they became concerned about obeying God and serving God again, amen, they didn't have to go through penance or some kind of self-flagellation. When God saw that in their heart, the priest looked out at them and said, quit it. Stop it. Stop crying. This is all God wanted is you to come back to Him. Amen. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A broken relationship with God has been restored. And when that relationship is restored, the joy of that sweet fellowship with God. And that, listen, that joy of the Lord back there is nothing like the joy of the Lord in the new covenant. Can you say amen? Because in the new covenant, we can have a more intimate, personal relationship with God. And the tragedy is, there's a lot of Christians that look like they've been, as Jimmy Swagger used to say, eating oats through a 2-inch pipe. That's a long face, amen? If the horse walks up to the bar, what is it they say? Horse walks up to the bar and says, and the bartender says, why the long face? Well, I know why the long face in church. And it isn't because of the devil. And it isn't because of the world. It's because we haven't developed a right relationship with God that produces joy. Thank you. And all the people said, can you say amen? I'm serious. How in the world is your bumper sticker going to outshine your countenance? Christ is the answer. And there's someone sitting up front, you know, with that get out of my way. Poor Lord. Doesn't seem like God is anywhere near the place. Listen, when they got back right with God, they were known. Listen, when they went down, they lost that relationship with God through disobedience. And when they went down into Babylon to be slaves in Babylon, amen, the first thing they asked of them was to hear a song. Isn't that amazing? Everybody in Babylon said that we have conquered the Israelis. We've conquered the covenant people. We've conquered, amen, Israel. They're going to be slaves to us now. And they're coming. What did they want first thing when they got there? They said, we would hear a song from you. You know why? Because when they were right with God, number one, they couldn't be conquered. Amen. Can you say amen? And when they were right with God, they were in a relationship with Him. Can you say amen? A relationship that produced joy. The joy of the Lord. Of a real relationship with God is your strength. Can you say amen? Just going to church is not going to keep you. Can you say amen? You're not going to overcome the pressures of the world just by sitting in church looking at me. Amen? And I'm not going to overcome it looking at you. Hello? Because some of you are a little tough to look at. Some, I mean, I love you, but if I look at you too long, I just want to go off and cry. I heard a story. I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles than some people in church. I'm serious. This is what Vance Havner said about his congregation. Boy, I got out of that quick, didn't I? Praise God. That's a Vance Havner quote about his congregation. Listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, listen. We need a real, genuine, authentic relationship with God. Church people have never impressed me. Christians impress me. People who have a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Yeah. People who know that they have a Father in heaven, not just a force up there somewhere, an impersonal force. Can you say amen? People with the Holy Ghost that can only shout when he pokes them like a cattle rod. When you can't get cows to move, you know, they got this electronic device called a cattle prod. And I see preachers trying to prod the congregation into praising God. Amen. Holy Ghost, some people won't move unless the Holy Ghost hits them. They sing that song, "You Gotta Move," and they're under their breath saying, "No, I don't." Amen. You gotta move. You gotta move. No, I don't. No, I don't. Amen. No, I won't. No, I won't. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. Listen. He said, go and eat the fat. Go and drink the sweet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why would anybody want what you got if it makes you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice? Nobody wants to know your God. Your God's not doing so much for you. Can you say amen? How many was lost before you got saved? Amen. Did you ever go to a party to sit around like most people sit in church? Did you ever go to... How many ever sinned again? How many... Did you go sit like that to sin? Did you do that? No, it's church where that happens. It's church. And people that don't have a real, genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus, you couldn't make them smile. You can't make them smile. They don't know what this thing is all about. Amen. It kept me out of church so long. Amen. And I came to Christ early and got in church myself. But when I was young, growing up, and they took me to church, I looked at Christians for an example. I thought Christians supposed to have it together. I thought people have been walking with the Lord for years, maybe would have some love and some joy and maybe a little bit of peace. Maybe they could smile sometime. Can you say, but you don't know what I've been through. I'm not here to, listen, let's don't get into a pity party this morning. If someone asks how you are, please don't tell them how you really are. Can you say, man, go ahead and tell them, I'm fine. Amen. It's a standard issue. I'm fine. Number one, they don't have time for you to pour it all out. Number two, people don't like to be around people that just talk down all the time. Amen. Joy stealers, joy killers. Just joy killers. You're doing pretty good till you let somebody tell you, and they talk like God doesn't matter. God doesn't matter. God does matter. We have a Father in heaven. Amen. And when you pray, I want you to start out by acknowledging you have a relationship with God now. And He's not the force anymore. He's the Father. And if your dad beat you or disappointed you or discouraged you, get your eyes off what your earthly daddy did and get your eyes on the fact that you've got a daddy now that loves you, that cares for you, that is accessible to you, that gave His Son for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The absentee fathers is the reason prisons are full. Most people in prison had a terrible relationship with their dad or no dad to have a relationship with. And the mother had to go to work and there's nobody to really do what's needed with the son. I used to tell the story every Father's Day about a way back in the turn of the century, a politician in the Senate. His boy, he was so busy in Washington that he never spent any time with his son. And no relationship and bond was there, but the son just loved his daddy, idolized his daddy, lived for the moment when his dad would come home. I went on the internet last night looking for something about dad. Somehow or another, I got over into dad's coming home from the war. And there's this one dog named Sarah. And he had been 8 months in Iraq. I wish I'd have brought the video. He had been 8 months in Iraq. And Sarah, this kind of dog, about knee high, short haired, black, look part hound and part something else. Her name was Sarah. Sarah missed her daddy so much that when he got out of the car, first step out of the car from Iraq, they were filming out of picture window. Back when, you know, this house still had one of those big windows, and they were filming behind the dog and the children, and the dog was looking out the window. And when she saw him after 8 months, Sarah jumped up on it and started crying. That's the whole video. That's the soundtrack for the whole video. She never stopped crying. Amen. When they let her out the door, she ran and jumped into his arms. He got down on his knees and she... And then she rolled over on her back in his arms and went... And I'm sitting there saying, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Yes. Amen. That's yes. You know, yes. That's how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be excited about coming. Listen, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. Can you say amen? See, if you had, I had a pastor. And he's a great guy, but he didn't have a right relationship from the beginning with God. He's a mightily anointed guy. He saw wonderful things happen in his ministry. He was the spearhead for revival in Tampa, Florida. Brother Joe Woodward, where the revival was 7 days a week, they had church. I was healed of leukemia in that meeting, that mighty revival where God was moving. Some of your grandparents were part of that revival. Amen. They were there when I was healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were praying in the balcony, and God would come down as they prayed, and they heard a mighty choir singing, and they thought they had brought in people while they were lost in prayer, and people had come in to practice to sing, and they looked up and there was nobody there, but the sound filled the building. Praise God. Praise is unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. No wonder I got healed in a place like that, because there was a genuine manifestation of the presence of the person. Hallelujah. Not just the power. Praise God. Amen. The joy of who? The Lord is your strength. When that relationship is restored, what happens when the prodigal son comes home? Amen. The father runs to him, embraces him. Hallelujah. Begins to give orders. Bring a robe and put on him. Put a ring on his finger and kill the fatted calf. Everybody say barbecue. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Why all this joy? Because this my son that was lost is home. Did he have to go home and hang his head? And so, no, the father saw him coming. And the only time in Scripture that God ran, because God was showing you how willing he is to forgive, to forget, to restore. Can you say amen? The father ran to him, fell upon him, and kissed him, and kissed him, and kissed him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what was more important to that son than the ring or the robe or the barbecue. It was the acceptance of his father. Can you say amen? You know the story of the prodigal son? He had an attitude. He grew up with an attitude. He didn't appreciate what he had. He didn't want to wait for his old man, as he would call him, to die. He wanted his stuff now and go do his thing. Amen. A total ingrate, full of ingratitude. He said, give me my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait. He gave him his portion of the inheritance. The Bible said he went out and spent it on riotousness and wild living. He just partied. Everybody say he partied. And guess what happened to all the friends that was with him while he's partying when all the money was gone? They were gone too. And then he got hungry. And he came to a man's house and he said, would you let me feed your pigs? And he would have filled his belly with the husk from the corn. Corn goes to the pigs. I will feed your pigs if I can have the husk. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried eating a corn husk, but I'll guarantee you, amen, you got to be pretty hungry. He had hit bottom, and he said, even a servant is faring better than me in my father's house. By the way, the Bible said he came to himself after he came to want. And he got broke. That's right. There's a lot of people it takes coming to want to come to themselves. We got people, our parents all over the place praying, God bless their parents, bless their kids in their sin. Amen. That's not going to get them saved. You have to give them to God. Let God bring them in. Sometimes it takes coming to want to come to ourselves. But if it brings us back to the Father's house, amen, he's not punishing us. Amen. Sin has its own consequences. But if we decide to come home, amen, he will not wait till we get home. He will run to meet us. Can you say amen? God is that willing to forgive, that willing to restore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Father saw him coming a long way off and ran to him and fell upon him and kissed him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God that we serve. Our Father which art in heaven. When you pray, pray like this. He said don't pray. First he had to undo the wrong praying. Don't pray like the hypocrites do, because Jesus said they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to it, 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not pray as the hypocrites. Now they had asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. We still need teaching from the Lord about prayer. Amen? Don't pray like the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, if you're doing it to impress people, God isn't going to respond to you. Amen? Same way with fasting. Same way. Would you like a chicken leg? No, thank you, I'm fasting. I've been fasting for 21 days now. Going on 22. Yes, I'm seeking the Lord. I don't know when I'll come off of this fast. I'm getting deep revelations from God. And all the time they're looking at you to see how impressed you are with their self-sacrifice. And the Bible said if you fast to be seen of men, you have your reward. That's what you did it for. That's what you got. And that's all you're going to get. Can you say, man, God isn't going to honor a thing you did? Some people talk in tongues to be seen of men. That's why Paul said if you don't have love, you're a big, big windbag. You're a lot of noise. You're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Can you say, man, there's no substance in it? The gifts are not to edify, to exalt yourself, rather. They are, all of them, is for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it takes somebody thinking about somebody else to minister in the gifts and it really be God and it flow in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I've seen self-exalting preachers. They want to impress you with big words. They want you to know how educated they are. I mean, they didn't get that PhD in theology for nothing. They want you to know how educated they are. And they're going to use words that we don't understand out here in the real world. I've often wondered why there's so many words that say the same thing. You ask somebody, what does that word mean? They tell you what it means. Say, well, why do we need another word? What is the point of the other word? I'm still waiting to hear. Is there a point to having another word? Because you ask, what does that word mean? Well, it means this. Well, then why do we have it? If it means that, why can't we just use this?
Classes, separate the classes.
Separate the classes. You get an A right now. Because if I use the big words, I'm a big shot. And if you understand it, you big shot too. Can you say amen? They think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. Some people think if I just pray long enough, that's going to work. You obviously don't understand, amen, what prayer is all about. Amen. Prayer is, listen, it said they would pray in vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. Just say it over and over and over and over. God heard you the first time you opened your mouth. You don't need to keep repeating it. You need to keep praying, keeping a prayerful attitude toward Him. Amen. Teach us to pray. He said, well, I'm going to have to undo some stuff then. Yeah. We can't start teaching you how to pray to teach you how not to pray. Don't pray like they pray. Amen. And who were they? They were the religious elite. Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know the difference between the Pharisee religious sect and the Sadducees? The Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. That's why they were sad, you see. Can you say amen? Amen. Because if there's nothing but this, then we're of all men, Paul said, most miserable. Thank God there's more beyond. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Say it with me. The best is yet to come. He said in verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, your Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, look at the mention of Father here. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Hallelujah. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Remember Baal's prophets, the heathens, praying to their false god? They had this concept, if we pray long enough and hard enough and we're self-sacrificial enough, that our God will listen. They prayed all day long. Amen. Because the deal was, let the God that answers by fire be God. And Elijah said, you pray to your God and I'll pray to mine. We'll see who answers by fire. It was a power encounter. It was a challenge. Can you say amen? Baal's prophets come out and they prayed and nothing happened. They prayed, nothing happened. They prayed, nothing happened. They prayed, nothing happened. And if you're praying and nothing is happening, they cut themselves. They got to the point that they thought, okay, if our God isn't listening, if he sees our self-sacrifice, that's going to get him to turn his head this way. And they begin to cut themselves, make themselves bleed, and nothing happened. Because they were serving a man-made God instead of the God who made man. Can you say amen? Listen to me. And Elijah, he's watching all of this, waiting for his turn. Can you say amen? All day long they prayed and nothing happened. Praise God. And Elijah said, maybe your God is asleep. Amen. Maybe your God has went to sleep. Maybe your God is literally translated. Maybe he's went to the restroom. He's not in right now. Can you say amen? I mean, he was implying your God's out somewhere doing something because he's obviously, clearly not here. Man-made religion is just that. It's man-made religion. And religion never helped anybody in and of itself. You have more than a force or a head of a religious system. You have a heavenly Father. I never went in my dad's house. And he keeps stuff I like. It's to chum me over, you know. I keep things he likes. And I never have went to the door of my dad's home and knocked on that door to see if he would open to me. I go in. Before I use the key to get in his apartment, I don't have to announce myself. It's my father. It's my dad. He'll always be. He's always glad to see me. Can you say amen? And I'm always glad to come into the presence of my God. The church going crowd can't show me nothing. Amen. If you get saved and just go to church, amen. Give up all your sin and go to church. Oh, just go to church as if sitting in church by osmosis is going to do something for you. Amen. Sitting in church won't make you a victorious Christian any more than sitting in a carport will make you a Buick. Can you say amen? It ain't going to happen. Amen. If you haven't met Jesus Christ, you're playing a religious game and you're going to lose. You're going to find yourself back into sin because there's only one that can keep you from sin. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you how? Faultless. Can you say amen? As long as the devil is your daddy, you will never know the Father's joy and the Father's love. But the moment God becomes your Father, all of that is supposed to change. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If God isn't truly your Father today, you're still of your father the devil and his works you will do. That's why you can get robbed and ripped off in church. You got to change daddies to have a change in your heart and your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said you got to change daddies. Whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, it's not what you do in here. It's when you walk out those doors. Who's the Lord of your life? Who are you listening to? Whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, make no mistake about it. His servant you are whom you obey, whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. But you can't serve two masters. Can you say amen? But if you make up your mind to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life, God is going to become your heavenly Father. And if he becomes your father, he becomes your provider. He becomes your protector. He becomes the one that answers your prayers. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Praise God. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask the Father that you might receive that what? That your joy may be full. Everybody say full. Well, when you go to the Father to make the petition, you have to come into his presence. And in his presence, before the prayer is even answered, is what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasure. Pleasure. Remember when it was fun to go to church? Some people go into church because of a deal. Amen? You live under this roof, you go to church. Well, that's good. You get them in church, might expose them to the gospel. But if they don't meet Jesus... Amen. If they don't meet Jesus, they're going to go right back out. Christian school is the best place to have your kids. But if they don't meet Jesus, they're going to be involved in sin. Graduated from a Christian college, a Christian school. Amen. We need some authentic relationship with God. And it needs to begin with the adults that know Him. We need the joy of the Lord. You're telling your kids they need Jesus and they look at you falling apart. They look at me falling apart. Amen? They're saying, well, what is Jesus going to do for me? Can't do much for you. Come on, they're not dumb enough to buy it. If you're long-faced, short-tempered all day long and telling other people what Jesus can do for them, it's got to go beyond the shout. You got to have something when you're done shouting. People watch you shout. They expect that maybe, just maybe, this has something deep and lasting. Not just momentary outbursts of joy, but something that lasts. And will outlast the storm. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you I've got a joy that keeps me up 24/7. I'm telling you that I've got a joy that kicks in if I press on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I will not live in that pit of despair. And I will not misrepresent Jesus Christ. I was telling some guys the other day, I said, you know, at our pastor's meeting, I was telling them, I said, you know, I would go to work on Monday. I would feel just drug out, worn out, but I'm going to work on Monday. And Monday, everybody's coming in. All the party crowd comes in hungover on Monday. You couldn't tell they had a good time over the weekend by looking at them on Monday. Bloodshot eyes and headaches, short tempers, amen, lost sleep. And now they're all, you know, now they're having to pay for the party that they had over the weekend. And they're all coming in. And the place I worked, it was bad. It was that slide down the razor blade place. Can you say, man? Most of the jobs there in production. Somebody said, Brother Venable, you're getting up in years. You've got to pace yourself. No, honey, not in production. You don't pace yourself. The pace is set by conveyor belts, and they run them suckers. Can you say, man? That machine is spinning, filling gallon bottles of milk. All those different machines down through that aisle, they're filling gallon bottles of liquid at 90 a minute. 90 a minute, and they're flying out of there, and they're coming my way. I'm telling you, bottles have to get over to them in my department. It was just awful all day long. But the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is real. I would pray on the way to work, and then when I got to work, I had listened to praise. I'd participated in praise. I'd talked to God, and by the time I got there, I was starting to feel better. Hallelujah! Now you can just go like everybody else. You can go with the flow. I'm going to tell you where you're going to end up going with the flow. You're going to look like, act like, react like everybody else. Amen. 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 And God really wants to set us in contrast to the world about us. And say, this living water is real. This joy is real. This relationship with God is not just a church thing or a momentary blast from the Holy Ghost. This is a daily walk with God. I'm going to challenge you to get something more than just a Holy Ghost blessing from time to time. I want to challenge you to get a walk with God that's consistent and real and relevant. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord. Is your strength. Jesus said in John 15, I've spoken these things unto you. I've spoken all of this to you, that my joy might be in you, that your joy might be complete, full. Can you say amen? Nobody's going to want what you got till your cup runs over. If it don't spill over, nobody cares. And it's amazing. I go into that row of lockers with all these hungover people. Amen. And I'm hungover too, but I'm hungover in the good way. Praise God. My voice is kind of raspy because I remember back when we used to praise God real loud. Hallelujah. Amen. And I remember when I used to preach for an hour and a half to 2 hours. You're going to get off easy today. Listen. And I'm not thinking about trying to impress anybody. I'm just thinking about the Lord. The Lord's been good to me. Here I am over 50 years old in production. Amen. The joy of the Lord had to be my strength. Amen. Praise God. And I'm at my locker and I'm whistling a tune. And I don't think it was Amazing Grace. And I don't think it, I just think it was a tune. I don't even think it was a song. I think it was my heart song. I think it was my joyous response to the fact that God has never failed me, never forsaken me, and was giving me strength to go in and stand there beside a 25-year-old and do the same job and outperform him. You say, well, you ain't worked with me yet. You ain't worked with me neither, old hoss. I'll tell you one thing from the look of a lot of young faces in this room. I got a lot more vim in me than you got in you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I have looked out at congregations so long, sometimes I have to look up at the ceiling. Amen. Sometimes I look up like I'm deep in thought. No, I'm not. I just can't take it anymore. Can you say, man, I just can't take it anymore. You know what? Listen, that's biblical. That's biblical. You know what the Bible said? Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah got his call to preach, Brother Taylor, you know what God told him? He said, I've called you. I'm anointing you. I'm sending you with my word. Don't you look at their faces. That's what he told him. Why? Because you'll become confused. You'll be looking at everybody's response and you'll see that old long face, and because you're telling them if you obey God, God's going to bless you. If you return to God, He'll return to you, and people looking at you like, so what? And then you know what you feel like? You feel like, why should I bother declaring something this powerful, this wonderful? But if they ever come back to God, it's going to change. If they ever meet God, know God, it's going to change. The joy of the Lord is going to come. Hallelujah. The joy. That's what David said when he repented. Restore unto me the joy of thy great deliverance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 38 years. 38 years, counting the time I pastored before I pastored here. 38 years I've learned to do this. Had a tire like that. Had a tire like that that I was too busy to have fixed. It had a leak in it. You could put it a little over full of air. And in 1 week, like clockwork, it was low again. And it needed fixing. But I was too busy running to fix it. And I went into a service station back in the day that was full service. Everybody say full service. You know, you that don't remember back in the day can't relate with me. But you go in and get $5 worth of gasoline, and they will clean your windows, air up your tires, check your oil. Can you say, man, put water in your radiator? Full service it was. This guy come out, I'd get my $5, $10 worth of gas, and he'd look at that tire, said, when are you going to get that tire fixed? I said, as soon as I have an opportunity, which meant as long as you keep putting air in it, pumping it up. Can you say, man, I'll never get the opportunity. Amen. So I'd go in and get gas. He'd air up my tire. 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 And he'd come in. Finally, I went in and he kind of convicted me because he said, I see Old Faithful needs some air today. Old Faithful. Because he knew, sure as I rolled up, that tire's going to need air, because I have not put air in it and I have not got it fixed. You know what the church needs to fix? We need to fix the leak. We need to fix the leak. Come on, we need to fix the leak, because somehow that joy comes on an occasion, but it just don't stay there. It leaks. Amen. We could be called, many of us, faithful. Faithful to leak. Guarantee you whatever happens Sunday won't be reflected next Sunday. So you can't go on from here to greater things. You have to go back and pump up the same tire again. I got so tired and convicted of him talking about Old Faithful. I went somewhere one day, took the time to get her fixed. And it was such a joy to drive up to the same gas station and see him head for that tire. Whoa! Surprise. Surprise. It doesn't need air. You got it fixed. We need some things fixed. Can you say amen? So that we can go somewhere with God and not just live between those pumpings and trying to get by. It doesn't persuade a gainsaying world of anything. There has to be a consistency for them to take notice. Can you say amen? That's why Jesus said, I've spoke these things unto you that my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. What was his joy? Amen. He said, the Father is always with me. Can you say amen? And I want my joy to be in you, so I'm going to tell you about the Father. Here's some of the things God wants us to know about himself as we close. I love you today. I'll pump you up every Sunday. But I'd rather you get it fixed. Because maybe then you could help me win somebody to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm in there on a Monday morning whistling a tune unto God because God has, his presence is, there is fullness in his presence. And if you think about all the other distracting things, it's going to pull you down. If you think about the goodness of God, it's going to lift you up. And you have to focus looking to Jesus, setting your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You've got to learn to focus. You can look at your trouble, you can look at your Father. And it's your choice. The choice you make is going to determine the atmosphere that you live your life in. Can you say amen? I choose joy. I choose joy instead of depression. I choose joy instead of oppression. I choose joy. Can you say amen? Instead of being drug out all of the time, I choose joy. Hallelujah. So they heard a whistling. You know, people are changing. They hear a whistling. Somebody says, that must be the Rev over there. Why? Because everybody else is hung over with bloodshot eyes, beaten down, and it didn't look like a good partay to me because it just didn't last. It didn't last till Monday. All that joy, headache, and hangover. And Monday, it's gone. Going to have to go back, shoot up, drink up. Can you say amen in order to get up? God wants to set his church in contrast and say, you don't have to do that. You can enjoy living. You can enjoy life to the full. And you can do it because of Jesus Christ. That living water is real. You can drink it if you choose. But you make no mistake about it. You are making a choice today. I'm making a choice today. Can you say amen? It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. People without an authentic relationship with the Lord or an immature relationship with the Lord are praying prayers that do not represent the accessibility and the availability of God. Somebody else said, yeah, that is the Rev, without coming around the corner to see. And they said something that made me want to be a witness every day when I went to work. He's got that deep, settled peace within. Only God can give you that. Yes. Nobody can do that for you but God. And if you don't have it, you're going to have the same look, the same atmosphere, the same attitude of the world about you. And how can God set you in contrast unless you are different? God wants to make you different and bless you in the process. Well, listen to these scriptures as we close. A few people actually smiled a while ago, cracked all that makeup, except for the men who didn't wear it. But look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Just in closing, we're going to read a couple of these and we're going to go. No service tonight. The Baptists and Methodists are swarming the restaurant right now. If you're going to a restaurant, the big brush will be over by the time you get there. Romans 8 and verse 14. Listen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Everybody say Abba.
Abba.
Say it again, Abba.
Abba.
There's a singing group from Sweden, I think, called ABBA. You know what ABBA meant here? In the Aramaic, it meant daddy. Dada. That's what ABBA means. And did you know who first used that in relation to God? Jesus Christ. In one of the Gospels, when he was in the garden praying, he said, "Abba, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." He said, "This is no time facing what I'm facing for some kind of religious prayer to impress people. This is the time when I need help from my Father. And to get help from my Father that I need intimacy. I need accessibility. I need to be able to come to Him. Abba, Father." And the only legitimate person on this planet that could address God that way was Jesus Christ. But something happened at the cross. We were not just forgiven our sins. We were brought into God's royal family. And He said, if you're led by His Spirit, you're not a slave of God. You're a son of God. Yeah. Whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Say it with me, "Abba, Father." If you're not saying "Abba," if you can't address Him in intimacy, then you're not addressing Him in the privilege that you have as a Christian. You haven't yet. You think He's an unapproachable God up there. You know, it's Joe Woodward was the pastor of the church that I attended. He fell away from God, got so busy. Busy preachers fall away from God. They take years, but they fall away from God. Because when they lose their intimacy with Him, they're going to fall away. You won't even get a good grounded life unless you develop intimacy with Him. One preacher that fell away from God was preaching in Italy, preaching all over the world. He was falling away from God. His family life was in disarray, falling apart. He stood, they filmed three coins in a fountain at that very fountain in Italy where a mighty lion is pouring water out of his mouth into the pool. 24/7, that lion's mouth is pouring water into the pool. And God spoke to him and said, "That's my ministry. Always pouring out, never stopping to drink." And that's how mightily anointed ministers can fail and have to come back and be restored, because everybody has to drink. Everybody has to stop and drink. Can you say amen? Abba, Father was only used by Jesus until the new covenant was established through the blood at the cross. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together." Can you say amen? Everybody say it again. Abba, Father. Amen. I want you to read two more scriptures quickly and we'll close. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Did you know an heir, as long as he's a child, can't come into his inheritance? Did you know 6-year-olds are not given $10 billion inheritances? Did you know it's put somewhere for them until they come of age? But when they come of age, then they can receive their inheritance. And did you know why God wants to challenge you and mature you today? So you can receive your inheritance. You're an heir. But you got to grow up to get it. Everybody say, "I got to grow up to get it." Come on, you're an heir of this joy, but you got to grow up to get it. You're an heir of this peace, but you got to grow up to get it. You're an heir of answered prayer, but you got to grow up to get it. You're an heir of God's kingdom, but you got to grow up to get it. Can you say amen? And some people grow old, but they never grow up. Some people don't want to grow up. They'd rather have a pity party than to praise God in the time of trouble. They'd rather someone feel sorry for them than see them as victims than to say, what kind of a God do they serve? Who has a God like their God? I don't want a pity party. I want people to know the God I serve is a prayer answering God. He's a keeping God. He's a helping God. Hallelujah. He's a protecting God and he's a providing God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 See, growing in the Lord makes you more childlike in your intimacy and your faith, more dependent. You're not praying in maturity till you pray Abba. Till you can have know God in such an intimate way, you preface it with Abba. Oh, by the way, let me finish this. I've seen people in certain ways they're praying. I see them praying, trying to get God to hear. They think about their much speaking. Remember, don't pray like the hypocrite. He thinks if I just say it long enough and loud enough, God will listen. God's eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Amen. If they're open, they're open. And I remember every time I see people praying like this, like God is not listening. He's aloof. Amen. I know they don't know an Abba Father relationship with Him. Yeah. They're trying to get Him to pay attention to them, and they have His undivided attention and haven't grown up enough to realize it. And they're screaming out and crying out, and they're sweating bullets and trying to do. I mean, remember what Baal's prophets did? They cut themselves. Did you know it was one paragraph? One paragraph. One paragraph. A short paragraph. Amen, Lord. Let it be known at thy word that I dug this ditch, that I put that altar there and put that animal on it. Let him know that I obeyed you when I did that. Amen. And show them who the real God is. And God answered by fire, consumed the sacrifice. Yeah. Amazing. I saw Yosemite Sam one time, and this comes to my mind. This always pops up in my mind when people pray like that. Yosemite Sam was trying to get at Bugs Bunny. And Bugs Bunny was inside this. It was a Looney Tune because, you know, we got a lot of cartoonish-like stuff instead of real spiritual stuff. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. We call it a prayer meeting, and all it is a crybaby session. Amen. Just crybaby. Just crybaby. No, that's not a prayer meeting. Amen. God is listening. Amen. You don't have to get His attention. Amen. But Yosemite Sam got this huge battering ram. And he is headed for this fort. It was out in the desert. I remember him whipping a camel and said, get up, you humpback muley. Amen. And he had this battering ram, and he got going real fast, and he built up until he was nothing but a blur. He was going to knock down that double door to that fort, and Bugs Bunny's going to be rabbit soup tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he's running full out until he becomes a complete blur, and Bugs Bunny's on the inside, of course, eating on his carrot, calm and cool. Can you say amen? Like always, chewing on his carrot, and you know, watching him come, watching him pour all that energy, watching him determination, amen. And he waits till he get right to the gates, amen. And he flips open the gates. He goes all the way through the fort, amen. Oh, he's already got the gates open on the back door to the fort. He flies all the way through and out the back door, and he achieved nothing. What in the world? I've seen that, and it always comes to my mind. And I say, don't they understand that they have a Father who's listening? Sometimes I pray passionately with volume. You don't even have to turn the volume up. You can, yeah. Yeah. I see you've been to those prayer meetings. Amen. What's the point? You're not going to be heard because you're much speaking. You need a relationship with God. My father loves me. I don't know about you. My daddy loves me. I never went into my dad's living room and say, "Oh, thou from whose loins I have come." I'm talking about my earthly dad. I have never approached him that way. He would think I was crazy and call him to come bring a net for me. Can you say, "Oh, out of whose loins I was born, I was come. Oh, rock from whence I am hewn. Oh, thou that took me to school on rainy days when I could not walk myself. Oh, my daddy, my great daddy, my daddy of all dads, of all the dads in the world, you are the dad of the dads. Hallelujah." Could I have a root beer from the refrigerator? No, he's my daddy. I don't have to approach him that way. I don't have to talk to him with that stuff. He's my dad. Now listen, he's our father. He's not our old man. We reverence him. We begin with, "Hallowed be thy name." Yes. But let me tell you something, as holy as he is, he wants intimacy with us. The thrice holy God wants intimacy with us and allows us to call him Abba. And the day we do, the Holy Spirit rises up and says, "That's right. That's who you are. Hallelujah. That's what you have in Christ. That is your relationship." Can you say amen? He bears witness with our spirit. And I got to close with this. And closing's been a long time coming. But we got a lot of growing to do. And I laid my glasses down somewhere in the chair. Thank you. If you hadn't told me, we'd have been out of here. It's all his fault. Can you say amen? Listen, this is good in closing. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be God, verse 3, listen, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Isn't it a blessing to be able to cry, "Abba, Father," just like Jesus did?
Yes, it is.
To have a standing with God that is alongside of Jesus and the way God accepts us. God doesn't have any stepchildren. Now you are the sons of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but now, right now, everybody say right now. Right now, we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Listen to it as we close. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." Predestined to become the adoption of children.
Hallelujah.
I have a granddaughter who is adopted. My son adopted her when she was just a baby. And let me tell you something about adoption. You may have to take a paternity test to prove that you are an heir unless you're adopted. If you're adopted, there's no need for a paternity test. Because if you're adopted, hallelujah, it don't matter who your other daddy was. This is your daddy now. I love it when God looks over the ramparts of heaven and said, "Who's your daddy?" Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I say, "You are. Before I got saved, you were of your father, the devil." And what? What did you do? What did you do? If you aren't saved, you're still doing it. But let me ask you that are saved here, what did you do? You did the works of your father, the devil. They ask some of these people, "Why did you do that? What were you thinking?" "I don't know." Amen. Why? You're just doing the works of your daddy. That's all. Can you say amen? But when you get a new daddy, the works are going to change. Hallelujah. You get a father in heaven. Hallelujah. That you love and honor and reverence, and you want to obey, and you struggle with your weak flesh, but you have a heart to obey because you got a new father. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Who's your daddy now? Glory to God. I have a father in heaven, not a force. Praise God. I have a relationship with him. And when I pray, I have his ear. It's what David said. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. I love the Lord because he hears my voice, turning his ear always to me. Can you say, man? Will you stand to your feet today? I have pumped a little bit in this service. Some of you don't have a slow leak. Some folks in this room have never been full in your life. Never known the fullness of God in your life. And the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the slave. He can't come into his inheritance until he grows up. Until he grows up. Until he grows up. I'm convinced there are some people who will never grow up. They would rather have pity than to give God praise. They'd rather people feel sorry for them than to give honor to Him. I'm convinced of that. Why? Because I've preached for 38 years and I've had a lot of interaction with people. And when years and years go by and you don't see spiritual growth, you know that there are people that are determined not to grow up. And you know what's going to happen? Paul said, I couldn't give you meat. You couldn't bear it. So I fed you with milk. The problem is there are other people who say, I don't want to be a chronic, complaining, defeated, depressed Christian. I want victory to bring honor to my King. I want, amen, for people to see the joy of the Lord in my life. I want more than this seesaw, up, down, back and forth, on and off, hot and cold relationship with God. I want the joy of the Lord because I need the strength desperately that only that relationship between me and God can give. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to be someone that people look at as pathetic, beaten down, beleaguered, and defeated. Can you say amen? I want victory. How many want victory? Amen. Some people are not raising your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for... You got it up in time. Don't worry. I saw it come up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I was going to be... Listen, it's time for honesty. If you don't want it, just say, I don't want it. And I'll just try to look the other way every time I preach. Leave you be. Leave you alone. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, preacher. Don't turn the boat over. Can you say amen? I'd rather the preacher rock the boat than to have the devil wreck the boat. How about you? Can you say amen? I'm here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God a hand. That's what I'm here for. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see you come into your inheritance. I know your daddy. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know your daddy. Oh, I know your daddy if you're a Christian. Hallelujah. Ain't no need. Come, listen, if you're away, come back to the Father's house. Hallelujah. There's an inheritance waiting for you. Woo! He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. The gold in the hills and the gold under the hills. Hallelujah. They're all His. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And He's mighty to save. He's mighty to restore. And He's mighty to deliver. Praise God. We were going to go home with this song and you can play it while we're fellowshipping. But I want us to pray all together. I don't want anybody to necessarily move out or do anything different. We're not here to embarrass anybody, put anybody. Well, we are here to put everybody on the spot, but not to do it publicly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Church is the most boring thing in the world unless you get around excited, enthusiastic, victorious Christians. Can you say amen? But if you ever get around that kind of Christian, amen, you'll say, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. Hallelujah. I want what he's got. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're going through trials, but it don't stop them from praising God and serving God. They have joy. Amen. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is their strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Meshurabakosa. Thank you, Father. Come out from among them and be ye separate unto me, saith the Lord. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. And I shall not be ashamed to call you my people, and you shall not be ashamed to call me your God, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not ashamed. Go ahead and let it start. I'm not ashamed to call him my God. I don't want